It's appropriate that we begin this season of Lent together with the story of Jesus in the wilderness. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, really. And this time in the wilderness for Jesus, this 40 days, is a model for us. It's a model for Lent, our 40 days, as we travel from Ash Wednesday to Easter, having to go through the cross as well as Jesus would. But this 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness is also sort of reminders of other important events in the wilderness that happened either in 40 days or in one case 40 years. Is perhaps best built upon the time in the wilderness that the Israelites and Moses spent, that 40 years when they traveled and wandered before they could enter the promised land. But there are some other 40-day moments that you might think of when we read about Jesus and his 40 days and 40 nights of fasting in the wilderness. Moses himself, when he went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, we're told, was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. The prophet Elijah, as he journeys to Mount Horeb, where he's going to hear the still small voice of God, travels and fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. So there's a lot of resonance in this story of Jesus in the wilderness. And also, it's not just perhaps a model for Lent for us, our 40-day journey. You might even think of our whole lives here on earth as wilderness time, as we are between that time when Jesus first came in the incarnation and we await Jesus coming again. Perhaps our whole lives are traveling in the wilderness, in a sense. So as I was reading this story again, there were some, some themes or messages that kind of jumped out at me. And I thought these might be good reminders as we begin this season of Lent in the wilderness heading to Easter, or simply traveling through life. The one thing about the wilderness is it's important. Often in Scripture, you have to go through that wilderness journey, travel through the valley, through the low points, in order to get to what God is preparing you for, in order to get to the promised land, in order to begin your ministry as Jesus does. There's something valuable about time in the wilderness. It's not pleasant, and yet it's important somehow to prepare us for what is coming. And not just individuals, churches often go through wilderness periods to get strengthened for what is coming next. And it's in the wilderness that you face tests, even temptations, as Jesus does today. In fact, notice Matthew even says Jesus went into the wilderness to be confronted by the devil, by these tests, these temptations. In the wilderness, you encounter the devil. Now, you don't have to necessarily think of the devil as the personification of evil. In fact, in this story, as in the book of Job, the devil isn't necessarily evil. The devil is, though, the tester, the tempter. That Hebrew word, ha-satan, from which we get the name, Satan, really means the adversary. Not necessarily evil, but just always pushing, testing, tempting, needling. Yes, a good word. And that's what the devil really does here. Now, this tempting and testing can result in evil, or it can be resisted. But it's in the wilderness that we encounter the devil. Some might even say, particularly as we enter this season of Lent, which is a season all about self-reflection, Perhaps this is the season when we encounter the devil within and confront it. But it's in the wilderness that you face this test, these temptations. And notice the temptations the devil offers are not bad on their surface necessarily. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and it seems almost redundant that Matthew tells us, well, he was hungry. And so when the devil says, Jesus, you have the power, just turn this stone into bread. On the surface, it doesn't sound like that awful an idea. It's actually a pretty good idea. Hey, Jesus, you have the power, turn the stone into bread. But the devil, as the devil does, is warping the truth. Jesus has the power to create bread, but Jesus knows you don't live by bread alone. But I think there's something here about Jesus and how he uses his miraculous powers. I mean, Jesus is going to do miracles throughout his ministry. He is even going to, you might say, create bread, at least make it last for 5,000 people at a couple times in his ministry. He is going to heal miraculously, give sight to the blind, help the lame walk. He has the power. But part of this temptation is for Jesus to use that power for himself as opposed to using it for others. And so Jesus realizes he will trust God to provide the bread without jumping in and trying to make it, create it himself. He'll save that power to use for others. And the second temptation, devil says, throw yourself off the top of the temple because surely God's angels will protect you, as the Psalms say they will. And I suspect they would have. If Jesus had thrown himself off the temple, I'll bet some angels would have come to prevent him from dying. But Jesus, again, knows better than to test God that way, to take unnecessary risks simply to see if God will respond. It's really the temptation, we might say, of security. Well, I know God loves me, but I need to know for sure. That temptation. And then the third one, the devil takes Jesus up to a high mountain and says, worship me and all the kingdoms of the world will be yours. This is the temptation of earthly power and glory and notoriety and celebrity and being noticed. All of that is wrapped up in this last temptation. And of course, Jesus knows better. I worship God alone. But and so maybe that third temptation is particularly maybe evil-ish. But the first two, not necessarily. That's the thing about temptation. On the surface, it doesn't always appear bad. The question is how we respond and what's behind it. Are we looking for something beyond God? We want food now. We want security for sure. We want our own little bit of power. These are the kinds of tests and temptations that come in the wilderness. But this story also reminds us how we can confront, even defeat, those tests and temptations, at least come through well. Notice that Jesus quotes from God's word at every temptation, particularly from Deuteronomy. God's word is what Jesus holds on to. Now, of course, notice as well, Jesus isn't the only one in this story who quotes Scripture. This story is always a good reminder that just because someone quotes Scripture to you doesn't mean they are speaking for God. The devil quotes Scripture correctly. It's just the devil's interpretation. It's a little off. little public service reminder there. But that's how we get through the wilderness, by holding on to God's word, the promises of God's word, that God will provide food, security, even power and authority if we are willing to use it well. Hold on to God's word is one of the big lessons of this story. And then the last lesson that I'll highlight in this story, it comes at the end of the story. Jesus has encountered the devil, and then the devil realizes, this isn't the right time. I'm getting nowhere. And departs. In fact, one of the Gospels, I think it's Luke, gives this little foreshadowing comment at this point in the story and says, the devil departed until an opportune time. But all the stories, all the accounts remind us, when the devil departs, then the angels come and care for Jesus. God was there the whole time, just not obviously. The angels were there the whole time, just not doing their work yet. That's the last reminder about these wilderness times. We may encounter the devil, but the angels are also there. God is also there, just not always as apparent, perhaps, as the devil. But if we wait, the angels will care for us when we need it in the wilderness. God is there, even if it seems at times like God is not. And so as we begin our Lenten journey into the wilderness heading to Easter, as we live our lives here in the wilderness of this world, be reminded, yes, we will encounter devils along the way, sometimes even within our own hearts. But hold on to the promises of God's word. In fact, I would encourage you, if you don't already in this season of Lent, to find time to immerse yourself in God's word every day, if you don't already. And if you already have a spiritual practice of reading God's word, do it a little more. And finally, we are reminded the angels are traveling with us through this wilderness. And so we enter this season of Lent, perhaps with some trepidation, either because of the season or what's going on in our lives or what's going on in the world. And yet, let us enter this season even more so with hope. Amen.